Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's a joy and honor to be able to share God's word with you this morning. Thank you, praise team, for the songs, and it's very related to the message I'm going to talk about. As the praise team was the last song they have talking about, yet not I, but Christ in me, I think about a picture, actually. I remember when I was a little kid, I want to learn to ride a bicycle. So my dad got me a bicycle, and I went to the park, and I start to want to ride. But of course, as a new, never actually had ride a bicycle, I was not able to balance. I was falling left and right and left and right, and then could not actually go forward. And I was like, oh, and then I was also the reason I couldn't do it that way is because, I was also fearing, what if I step and then I'll fall and so on. So that's the fear and doubt in me that made me not really able to go forward. But as I was trying hard, suddenly I realized I can balance and then I can ride forward. And then I look back, it wasn't me. It was actually my dad holding my bike in the behind. And that was why I was able to overcome my fear and was able to ride a bike. So I think about the song, Yet Not I, But Christ in Me. At that moment, it wasn't me, but my dad holding me that I was able to ride a bike. So with this thought in mind, I will go into today's sermon, From Fear to Faith. I wonder if you ever have fear of faith in your life. Anyone? I do. And how do you face it? How do you face your fear and your doubt? And how do you overcome it? Today's passage is about from fear to faith. And thank you, Pastor Pamela, for reading God's Word. And I just ask you to open your Bible, your digital Bible, or your paper Bible. Either way is fine. But I just want you to follow along. I have PowerPoint, but not really every verses I have. So it's best that you follow with your Bible. The background of Matthew 14 is that Jesus just performed a miracle feeding the 5,000. The disciples saw with their own eyes, and also they saw with their own eyes that the 5 loaves and the 2 fish were actually multiplied exponentially, and they were able to, after feeding the 5,000, they were able to carry with their own arms and hands the 12 baskets full of leftover. So the disciples had actually saw and experienced the power of Jesus. And after this spectacular event, and if you look at the parallel passage in John 6, people wanted to crown Jesus as the king. But of course, Jesus' mission on earth was not to be king in this world. So he made the disciple go into the boat to the other side of the lake, and then he went to the mountainside to pray. And that's the beginning of the passage we have just read. That night was a stormy night on the lake. The wind was howling and the wave was crashing on the boat. And the disciples, even very experienced fishermen, they struggled to keep the boat afloat. I would assume they were somewhat afraid. They were somewhat worried. And adding to the worry, in the dark night, they saw a figure walking on the lake. They were terrified. They cry out in fear, "It is a ghost!" It's a ghost. They didn't recognize Jesus. Even though Jesus was trying to come to them to be in their presence to give them comfort, but they couldn't see. And for you and me, maybe sometimes we are in similar situation. We couldn't recognize Jesus. And there's also a ghost in the fear in our life. Maybe it's not a ghost physically, but the worry and fear in our lives. What are these things in your life? For the disciple in this fearful situation, they heard a familiar voice saying, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." It can help me move the PowerPoint. We'll just skip that one. Yeah. "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." This familiar voice come to them. "It is I" is not equivalent to, "Oh, it's me, I'm coming." "It is I" in Exodus 3:14 is actually the name of God. When Moses was sent by God to liberate the Israelite, he wasn't very confident. So he asked God, well, you're sending me. If the Israelite asked me, who has sent me to take them out of Egypt, what should I say? What is your name? And God said, "I am who I am." Basically, God said, "My name is God." So every time in the Bible when we see "I am," when Jesus say "I am," it's usually saying, "I am God. You know, I have the power of God. God is in me." And it's because of "I am," this God's power, Jesus is God, he has the power of God. And he has control over the universe. He can walk on the waves. He can rise above the storm that was a threat to sink the disciples. And the word "take courage" is also a comfort to, in the other part of the Bible, is usually about God comforting people who are in disaster, who need help in their doubt, and who are in danger. Take courage, I am God. So what Jesus is saying is, focus on "I am," not focus on me, myself. Not focus on myself or the wind. You do not need to be afraid. Peter, always the disciples with action, took the leap of faith. "Lord, it is you. Tell me to come to you on the water." "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." This statement showed Peter has faith in Jesus. As no human has the ability to walk on the water, he's asking for God's power in him to accomplish what is beyond him. He is focusing on "I am," not me. So from fear to faith is focusing on "I am," not me. Fear in Jesus gives us the power to overcome fear and do what is beyond our ability. Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got down to the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink. As Peter shifted his focus from "I am" to the wind, to himself, he sank. Doubt caused him to sink, despite the fact he was walking on the water a few minutes ago. And unfortunately, this journey from fear to faith had made a turn, and now it's becoming from faith to fear. The faith to fear is focusing on me or the wind and not on "I am" anymore. And it's so true, even the most faith-filled person can experience moments of doubt. And instead of allowing doubt to take deeper root, we need to refocus on "I am." And sometimes by remembering how God has helped us, saved us, rescued us, and remembering God is the creator of the universe, we refocus on God's power that "I am." The story goes on. Peter cried out, "Lord, save me! Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter. And he said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt? You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And even though this statement, it seems like it's like, "Oh, 老人," like scolding him, but I actually believe that it is not a condemning or scolding statement. I think it was communicated with love and grace, which is evident in Jesus' action. Think about it. Jesus saving Peter from the water, sinking in the water. There are actually many ways to save him. Jesus could have saved him without even touching him. He could just say, "Rise, Peter, rise," right? And then there is like the wind or the power just lifting up. And Jesus could have made the water frozen underneath Peter. And then there's like hot ground, and then Peter can just step, and then he can just rise up. But for all the ways that Jesus could have saved Peter, he has chosen this way. Jesus bent down, he reached out his hand, and he caught him. And he held Peter's hand and lifted him up. This is an intimate and personal relationship with Peter. He wants to be with Peter, and just like Jesus wants to be with us. In John 1:14, it says, "The Lord become flesh and make his indwelling among us." And this hand of Jesus will soon be the hand that will be nailed on the cross. Jesus' hand is a symbol of love, sacrifice, and power. This is the I am whom we can put our faith in. And when they climb into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worship him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This journey of Peter from fear to faith, from faith to fear, and then back to fear to faith. And not only from fear to faith, it's actually from worry to worship. From worry to worship, they recognize that truly you are the Son of God. Can move the next slide, thank you. So from worry to fear, from worry to worship, and then from fear to faith, this is a journey that disciples were on. I bet we all have some doubt, some worries, some fear. Turning worry to worship, recognizing this God that I am, the God of power, the God of love, the God of sacrifice, you are truly the Son of God. We can go from worry to worship. And I just want to tell you a story of my journey from fear to faith. Our denomination, the Alliance, passed the vote in 2012 assembly to allow women ordination. Soon after that, there was 2012. And soon after that, the district coach, Candy Ma, he encouraged me to pursue it, even though it is not a requirement for me, because I started ministry before the women ordination is in place. So that's why I actually have the choice of doing it or not doing it, pursuing it or not. So at that time, I thought about it, because of the ministry load, because at that time, we were actually intensely talking about building a new church. And then my dad passed away in 2015, and then 2016, the church moved. So many things happened during that time, and there's lots of transition. And besides the external circumstances that made me doubt, deep down, I was afraid. I was afraid of all the requirements, the assignments, the papers, the seminars you have to go to, and all those things. And it's like going back to school, which I'm not sure if I want to. I'm quite sure some of the students can relate to me. Finally, in 2022, actually 10 years later, under the encouragement of one of my mentors, I reconsider it, and I pray about it again. And I think about it, and I think, well, ordination is an affirmation of my call into ministry. It's a deeper commitment to God. And also, it is an opportunity for me to have theological reflection, renewal of my mind and my heart, and a renewal of relationship with God, and also give me new insight into ministry. So by faith, I decided I will go through this process. I know there will be lots of books to read, paper to write, seminars and retreat to go to, and that all these things will be happy to be done actually while we are engaged in our regular ministry, our regular work. And I'm thinking, well, I have been out of school for very long. It is really beyond my ability. But by faith, just like Peter, I said, God, if it's you, tell me to come on the water. So my journey of fear to faith began. I start off the process focusing on I am. God, you know, you can empower me, you can help me do it. I start off the process focusing on I am, not me. The first few steps was fine. I finished the first book review, and it was fine. Oh, the seminars were quite interesting, and then the retreat were actually quite refreshing. But then the wind came. The church is not very windy, but the wind came. Ministry become more demanding, and as you know, in the last few years, there were actually a lot of newcomers to the church, which is great, but that requires more time and energy to serve. And then starting my research paper and getting stuck. As I said before, I haven't been at school for quite a long time, and paper is never my favorite anyway. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, how do I do this paper? Where do I get all the references, you know, all the books I need, and my reading speed is not good, and English is not my first language, memory is an issue, you know, all gone, all in all. And then another win comes. Is the struggle that I'm actually a very people-oriented person. I like to work with people. So I need to say no to things, you know, no to this, and no to gathering, no to supper, or no to whatever. And even no to sometimes, you know, people asking for help. And prioritization is never my strength. So 6 months into the ordination process, instead of scheduling regular time to study, I allow ministry to take priority, and assignments become very secondary. So I would always be doing ministry first, and then I'll just, oh, assignments can wait. And then I got behind more and more, and I start to forget my prayer to God. You know, God, help me. God, if it's you, you can give me. You can give me the power. As my eyes were off Jesus, and focusing on circumstances, my ability, whatever is happening, my fear of doubt, my faith start to shake. And then the doubt and sense of inadequacy creep in. Can I really do it? I start sinking into the water. And 2 years into the process, which is around September last year, 2024, I realize I have almost 4 papers and 5 book reviews to do. And that is need to be finished in this year, February the 1st. So basically, out of 3 years of the process, I only have 6 months remaining to finish all the paper and book reviews. If I need to be on schedule to do the interview in June or May, I really need to speed up. But I feel like it's impossible. It's impossible to do all those that supposed to be spaced out in 3 years, you do it in 6 months. And then I'm thinking about, oh no, interview. You know, what if the other pastor, like Pastor Pamelina, Pastor Phoebe, Pastor Tim, we are all going through ordination process. What if they all pass the interview and I fail? What happened? And then I continue to think, it's like, oh no, you know, it's like, so I went from faith to fear, and then my focus is no longer on I am. And I forgot about the calling. Jesus said, come, come. And I focus on my inability, my limitation, and should I give up? As I was thinking, I cry out to God, God save me. Jesus reached out his hand, and he caught me. You of little faith, why did you doubt? Jesus saved me with his hand, and his rescue was like from the following. By mentors, I have mentors that say, I still believe in you. You can do it. And I have pastor, my fellow pastor, pray for me and help me with ministry responsibility and papers, you know, books that they have used already and they just lend it to me. I have my deacons taking up more responsibility for me. I have district coach giving me extension for my assignments. And last but not the least, and maybe the most important, is Jesus' own encouraging words in my heart, telling me that, do it. You know, you do it, the process is going to be a blessing to you. As I refocus on Jesus and not the wind, I have a different mindset and attitude. I took courage to get into the paper that I dreaded on for very long. I realized I love the insights from the books I read. My mind and my heart was renewed. All this learning helped me grow and gives me a new perspective about myself and ministry and a renewed relationship with God. And I'm learning to go from worry to worship, to say that, God, this process is a worship, it's an offering to you. And even though it is hard, I thank God for allowing me to experience this journey from fear to faith and the reality of the ups and downs. God saved me again and again when I sink. And I pray that my faith will continue to be more mature. So please pray for me and pray for the other pastor too. I need to finish my last paper by the end of this month, which is about a week from now. So next week, this coming week after I preach, will be the crunch time for me. And my paper is probably about one third, I think. And I still need to get one more book review in, and which I get an extension. That is another Jesus hand saving me. I get an extension to finish that book review in mid-April. And then I will study for my interview, which is scheduled for June. And pray also for the other pastor, Pastor Phoebe, Pastor Femelina, Pastor Tim. And and I remember a pastor friend of mine, she told me, at that time I didn't quite understand what she said, but now I do. She told me that she said ordination should never be a personal thing, meaning that you just hide, you know, in your office, hide in your room, hide in your house, and do it. Ordination is an affirmation of your call into ministry and to be a shepherd for your sheep. So your sheep actually should know about your ordination, that you are going into ordination, the process, you should update them, and that they can pray for you, pray with you, and that they can encourage you. So I feel very honored that I can share with you this ordination process, even though it's like fear to faith to fear, and then up and down. However, I believe that ordination, it is a church business. It's a church matters. It's the congregation with the pastor going through it together. In conclusion, God knows our struggle, and God knows our struggle, just like the storm on the lake, just like Peter sinking, losing faith and sinking into water. But yet sometimes he allowed those challenges to happen in our lives to strengthen our faith in the I am. He is faithful, he promised, and he will promise to see us through. As we focus on the I am instead of me, or the circumstances or the problem, we will move from fear to faith. We confess, even for the most faithful follower of Christ, doubt may creep in and shaken our faith. But God knows our weakness, and he lovingly reached out his hand to catch us and save us. If we're willing, God will always help us to refocus on I am. And the Corinthians, the one, yeah. In 2 Corinthians, it says, such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence come from God. Yet not I, but Christ in me. And this picture may be a picture that you can relate to. Maybe it's also what you are going through as well. The journey of discipleship is never easy. It's hard. But in those difficulties that we are sinking, God is with us. So I would give you a reflection question. If there's time, that you can go into small groups and reflect about it. Reflecting on the doubt and fear you currently have, how can you overcome them by the faith in I am? Let's pray.